Today's scripture is in the book of Luke. And there are Bibles on your tables if you want to follow along in the Bible. It's also going to be on the screen. We're using the Common English Version this morning. Chapter 23, verse 23 through 46. But they were adamant, shouting their demand that Jesus be crucified. Their voices won out. Pilate issued his decision to grant their request. He released the one they asked for, who had been thrown into prison because of a riot and murder. But he handed Jesus over to their will. On the way to the cross, as they led Jesus away, they grabbed Simon, a man from Cyrene who was coming in from the countryside. They put the cross on his back and they made him carry it behind Jesus. A huge crowd of people followed Jesus, including women who were mourning and wailing for him. Jesus turned to the women and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't cry for me. Rather, cry for yourselves and your children. These things, when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" They also led two other criminals to be executed with Jesus. When they arrived at the place called the Skull, they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." They drew lots as a way of dividing up his clothing. The people were standing around watching, but the leaders sneered at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he really is the Christ, sent from God, the chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him. They came up to him, offering him sour wine and saying, "If you really are the King of the Jews, then save yourself." Above his head was a notice of the formal charge against him. It read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging next to Jesus insulted him, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." Responding, the other criminal spoke harshly to him, "Don't you fear God, seeing that you've also been sentenced to die? We are rightly condemned, for we are receiving the appropriate sentence for what we did. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "I assure you that today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness covered the whole earth until about 3 o'clock. While the sun stopped shining, then the curtain in the sanctuary tore down the middle. Crying out in a loud voice, Jesus said, "Father, into your hands I entrust my life." After he said this, he breathed for the last time. Lent, Ash Wednesday, Holy Week, Easter. It's all overwhelming to me. Absolutely overwhelming to me. As far as being a Christian goes, this is the most intense part of it for me. I'm telling you this now because as we work through this passage today, I'm going to unpack it and pick it apart. And I want you to know where my head and my heart is. I remember as a young person, every year, in case I haven't mentioned it, I grew up in this church. I know that I mentioned it every time I preach, and I'm sorry about that, but it's a significant part of my life. My faith was built here. So you're just going to have to endure it. So as a child and even as a young adult, I remember sitting in a pew. Yes, we had pews here then. Pews, yeah. Sitting in a pew where the big wooden cross sat right here. And it usually had a fabric draped over it in some capacity. And I remember sitting in this room in the dark so many times looking up at that big cross and being overwhelmed. Being overwhelmed when I was an adult and I fully understood just exactly what transpired in the last moments of Jesus' life on earth. His last days, his last conversations, and his last breath. We're going to pick this scripture apart this morning a little bit at a time because there's so much in this. And you have to ask yourself the question, are you getting it all when you read through it? Or has it become one of those things that we just read through and we think, oh, yep, it's Easter. I remember this. Nancy talked last week about the whole Pilate and Herod thing. It was last week, right? I get my weeks messed up. When I read verse 24, so Pilate decided to grant their demand. Just like that. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. I feel like he gave in. He allowed the crowd and their persistence to determine this man's fate. He traded one for another. Well, not really, I guess, because if we really believe and follow already, we know that Jesus came from the beginning to save the sinners and find the lost. So it was all in the plan. But even if we aren't following and believing yet, we probably have heard this somewhere at some point. So maybe Pilate's giving in is just a piece of the puzzle to be considered. But it doesn't sit well with me regardless. I can't help it. I think of things like, dude, are you serious? You're giving up my Jesus, my Savior. When I read that scripture, I get angry. You're giving up my Lord. And truth be told, it's yours too. He's your God too. He's your Savior too. And you're just handing him over. You're just giving him up. He bailed. So Simon from Cyrene is given the task of carrying the cross behind Jesus. The verse says he was on his way in from the country, and suddenly he's finding himself carrying the tree of death, is what I think of. The tree of death for Jesus. Carrying it most likely because it's so heavy, it's not a one-man job. He can't carry it by himself. This sticks with me, and here's why. How often are you in a position to come alongside someone who simply cannot carry that on their own? How often when we're walking through our lives do we come across somebody who simply cannot carry that, whatever their that is? How often have you been in a place in your life where your that is so heavy that you're dragging it behind you? And you just wish for one second that somebody would come along and pull up the backside of it. Because it's exhausting to carry our that, whatever our that is. It may not be a tree of death, but it may feel as heavy as one. How often do we notice those around us that are carrying their tree all by themselves? Who's your Simon? Who are you being Simon of Cyrene for? That's what that passage sticks in my head. Now, there's this group here in Elkhart. How many of you heard of St. James? I can't remember what the initials are, but it's AME, isn't it? St. James Annie, AME. Okay, St. James downtown Elkhart. It's on Martin Luther King Jr. Drive. St. James, in combination with AMBS, is doing this really cool contemporary Stations of the Cross thing the Saturday before Easter. And they're starting downtown at the courthouse, and I believe it's at 10 o'clock. I gave Nancy the information, but here's the thing where it fits in this moment of what we're talking about today is part of what one of the stations that they're doing is they're going to stop at a point where there might be folks in that community, in that immediate area, that might need a Simon. And they're going to talk about this passage at that moment in that scripture where somebody comes alongside you and helps you along the way. So it's kind of, I sense that it's going to be a really, really cool experience. So if you get a chance, 10 o'clock, the courthouse, just a little plug because it fit, not because I'm trying to sell it for anybody, but okay, so now we venture into the verses that talk about the people following him to the hill and the women who were wailing and mourning. And his response is what? Don't cry for me. Don't cry for me. Cry for yourselves and your children. Now, I have to confess something to you. Sometimes when I read scripture, I don't really get the significance of certain pieces of it. So I call my pastor. I say, what does this mean? So I did that here. And she said, I don't know, I'll get back to you. She said, I'm eating lunch right now, let me call you back. But she did eventually get back to me. In the meantime, I did some of my own research, thank you so much. But essentially the gist of it is that he's saying, you know, you think this is bad. You know, the trees are green, what about when the end is here and things get really, really bad? You know, what's going to happen and how it's going to affect your children and all of that. Now, this isn't the piece of this, though, that stuck to me the most, because when I looked at verse 31, For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it's dry? If people are rejecting the Savior when things are good, when things are green, my goodness, what are we going to do when it gets bad? And let's be honest, what part are we in right now? Are we in the good room? Because we reject Jesus every day. Every day. I have rejected Jesus. Confessing it right now. I have rejected Jesus. And I think to myself, when Nancy talked about the crow, sorry, but when you preach good stuff, it just shows back up in for the future. When she preached about the crow, that darn crow. You ever hear that crow? Did you walk away that day that she preached that and think to yourself, wow? And if you weren't here, I'm sorry, because it was good. Yeah, the crow, the rooster. See, it really stuck with me. My crows make sound. I don't know what your crows do. My crows make sound. It was a rooster. I get it now. It was a rooster. Okay, so moving on. Boy, that'll be my nickname now. I crow. Okay, so the rooster, that really is kind of funny. The rooster crowed. See, that's where it is. The rooster crowed. I'm not completely gone. The rooster crowed. The rooster crowed. All right, so now that we got that cleared up, have you heard the rooster? Have you heard the rooster? I've heard the rooster. If we're being honest with ourselves, I've heard the rooster. And don't we reject every single time we reject someone in God's kingdom that might be in the least of these moments? How often, you know, those people that need a Simon to come along, how often do we reject and then that rooster crows in my head? I told you it wasn't going to be necessarily easy today. I've had least of these moments, have you? You might be living one right now. You might remember one 2 weeks ago, you might remember one 10 years ago. I can remember at least of these moments 7 years ago for me. I mean, we have them and we're rejected. And was there a Simon? And yet the cross. Even in this rejecting moment, Jesus begs God to forgive the very ones rejecting. He acknowledges their ignorance and he begs for their forgiveness from the Heavenly Father. It's unbelievable to me. It's unbelievable. And yet they mock and disregard the significance and they focus on who gets his stuff. They focus on who gets his stuff. Can you imagine being a believer or just, you know, even if you were close to it, someone chasing after Jesus and standing there and listening to the mocking and sneering that's going on all around you from the crowd of people and the leaders and the rulers, the people who are in charge, the people who are supposed to be setting the example. I've had experiences in my life where I have felt mocks and sneers, disrespect from those in charge of a moment or a situation, and it does not feel good. It's horrible. You imagine those who are standing in the moment who might have been on the fence about, you know, I'm curious about this Jesus dude. I'm curious. And then this morning it popped in my head, how many times have we been sitting in church and somebody who might be sitting on the fence walks in the door and hears something or sees something that's a mock or a sneer? I can remember standing in this building in the lobby one time, and bless their hearts, the little old ladies of this church were absolutely wonderful. But, you know, people sometimes get to a point where they're set in their ways and they're set in their comfort zones. And this particular morning, the preschool was singing Every year the preschool would sing in church, just kind of like a thank you for supporting us and that sort of thing. And one of the ladies saw all of these young families and kids roaming around in the building. And this lady said, "Who are all these people and why are they in my church?" And I cringed. And her rooster crowed, I'm sure. She might not have heard it, but I'm sure her rooster crowed. I cringed. I was the children's director at that time here. And I thought, what are we doing? We're rejecting. But it doesn't even have to be that major. It's a look. It's a sneer. It's a disapproval. It's all of those things. And I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying shame on you, because I'm a firm believer at this point that we as a church right now are doing a pretty good job of not doing the mocking and the sneering, but we all have individual human moments, right? Where we don't put our Jesus hat on. So I'm just bringing it. I'm revealing to you what's in my heart. This is me. Okay, I'm being vulnerable. So you can say shame on Michelle when you walk out if that makes you feel good. So, verse 39. Even the dude on one side of him, a criminal himself, mocked Jesus, saying, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." Seriously? Do you know him? How can you talk to my Jesus that way? I'm thinking, you deserve nothing from my Jesus. And then I realize, neither do I. But we read in it, and it says that, you know, he saved me anyway. The Bible says he saved me anyway. I don't deserve it, right? I'm a sinner. I have a crow. I have a rooster. And he's loud sometimes, and I don't deserve it, and Jesus saved me anyway. Criminal 2 on the other side chimes in with the chastising, "Shame on you. Because we actually screwed up, and we are here because we deserve the punishment that we're getting. We did that." But this part, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You come into your kingdom." Again, pow. It's like in big bold letters to me. It doesn't say, "Remember me when we." He's not assuming that he's going. He's not assuming for 1 second that he's going. He's done nothing to deserve to be where Jesus is going. And he's right. And yet, the cross, Jesus says, "You'll be with me in paradise." Here's the thing. God's grace, undeserved yet given. God's love, freely given. God's mercy, freely given. The body and the blood, undeserved yet given. Without question, hesitation, or doubt, just given. "Today you will be with me in paradise." Even in human death, excruciating pain, given. Because it's never too late. We lament over how to confess, how to ask to be saved, how to worship, how to give our offerings, how to light the candles, and how to recite the prayers. When to stand and when to sit, when to kneel, when to pray, how to pray. We make it so hard, and it's so, our part's easy. It's so easy. Our part's easy. You ask. "Remember me, Jesus." He didn't deserve it. "Remember me when you go." So we ask, "Remember me, Jesus. Forgive me, Jesus. Love me, Jesus, and help me to love others." His part, a beating, a cross too heavy to carry, public humiliation, excruciating, unbearable human physical pain, a broken heart for the sins of man. Don't you think his heart was broken, even though he knew? A broken heart. Raise your hand if you've ever experienced a broken heart. Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they are doing. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Remember Jesus. Love Jesus. Our part is easy. His part wasn't. So, his part. Tree of death. Wood. He offered himself up and he said, "This is my body broken for you." And he said, "This is my blood shed for you." His part, not so easy. We're gonna have communion. And we're going to think about his part. And I'm going to tear off a piece of bread for you. And you're going to dip it. And it's okay if it drips. His part wasn't easy. And yet he did it anyway. For us who didn't deserve it. Come. Whenever you're ready.